Maybe you can turn a light down in the front and a little bit in the back, so I can see well. The other one. And can turn it. Yeah, one light on in the back, inshallah. Jazakallah khair. I guess everybody can see well. This is fine. This is good. This is good. Yeah, that's good. This is great. Alhamdulillah. Jazakallah khair. Thank you. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين حمدا يوافي نعمه ويكافئ مزيده وصلى اللهم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما وفقها في الدين يا رب العالمين اللهم اجعل جمعنا هذا جمعا مرحوما وتفرقنا من بعده تفرقا معصوما ولا تجعل فينا ولا معنا شقيا ولا مطرودا ولا محروما يا رب العالمين Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. We continue, inshaAllah, on the conquest and the fatuh of al-Iraq and Iran, which was under the territory of Persia at that time. We continue on the phase of Umar ibn al-Khattab and how the fatuh started at the time of Abu Bakr al-Siddiq when he sent Khalid ibn al-Walid, al-Muthanna ibn Haritha, al-Shaybani to start the conquest of al-Iraq. And Khalid ibn al-Walid, with the grace of Allah, bihamdillah, was able to have multiple victories over the Persians at the time of Abu Bakr al-Siddiq. And then he had to move to al-Sham, where he was much needed with his men. And then when Umar ibn al-Khattab became Khalifa, he wanted to start sending people to Iraq, and Abu Ubaid al-Thaqafi was one of the first people to reply and to respond positively to the call for jihad in Iraq. And so Umar ibn al-Khattab made him a commander on the forces that went to al-Iraq to fight the Persians. And Abu Ubaid al-Thaqafi led multiple battles in al-Iraq and south of Iraq. And he was victorious, alhamdulillah, with his Muslim brothers, and in 2 to 3 battles. However, they met a very large force from the Persian, led by a man called Bahman Jazaway, or as known in Arabic Islamic history as Dhul Hajib. And he was able to defeat the Muslim forces in a battle known as the Battle of the Bridge, or the Bridge of Abu Ubaid. And Abu Ubaid himself was martyred in that battle. Later on, Muslims regrouped, and Al-Muthanna bin Haritha al-Shaybani led the Battle of Al-Buwaib, where he was able to defeat the Persian forces. And then the Muslim expeditions went through Iraq from south to north, between the two rivers of the Euphrates and the Tigris. And that was the second phase of this fatuh. However, the Persians and their capital Al-Mada'in prepared a huge force, and they put their forces into the Mesopotamic area between the two rivers. And Muthanna sent to Umar ibn al-Khattab asking him what to do. And Umar ibn al-Khattab told him to withdraw from that area because it would be very dangerous for the Muslim armies and Muslim forces to be trapped between the two rivers. And he asked him to come back and to withdraw his forces south of the Euphrates River. And he started preparing a force to support this Muslim expedition and to help to continue the conquest of al-Iraq. And that's where we are, inshallah, today. One thing that Umar ibn al-Khattab did that was unusual, and it was a first in the Islamic history, is he ordered a draft. He asked al-Muthanna to prepare and to draft every Muslim that is able to fight in the areas and the tribes around him. And that way, that was the first military draft in Islam, and it was started by Umar ibn al-Khattab. The Persian position became much stronger on multiple axes. The first is the political axis. We know how they had a tumultuous and turmoil period within their own government after the death of Shahryar Kisra, until they found an heir to the throne who was Yazdegerd. And in that time, there was a major conflict between two of their elite commanders, Al-Fayruzan and Rustam. And this conflict was finally over, and the political atmosphere in Persia settled down, and that made them even a much more dangerous force to be reckoned with. And then the other thing they did is they also drafted, they tried to prepare the largest force possible to fight the Muslims. After the multiple battles led by Khalid ibn al-Walid, Abu Ubaid al-Thaqafi, and al-Muthanna ibn Harith al-Shaybani, the Persians realized that this is not a nuisance. This is a real danger that threatened the elimination of the Persian kingdom and the Persian government, and to be replaced by these, in their opinion, the invaders from the desert, those Muslims that are coming in with new religion and new things, and they want to tell the slaves that they're equal to their masters, and they want to tell the peasants that they're equal to the landlords. And to that, for them, that was a totally unacceptable point of view, and they will do whatever they can to prevent that from happening. So the Persians prepare their largest armies to date to fight the Muslims, and then unite their government under Yazdegerd. And Umar himself also, radiallahu anh, started preparing a bigger army after knowing the danger and what the Persians could do in the Battle of Al-Jisr. And many of these new territories, after the Muslims withdrew from that area and the Persian come, they rebelled and they did not honor their treaties and their commitment to the Muslims. So the Al-Muthanna ibn Haritha withdraws from Mesopotamia on the orders of Al-Khalifa Umar ibn al-Khattab. Umar ibn al-Khattab, knowing the importance of this coming battle, he decides to go on himself. And he gathers the Sahaba and he started preparing an army that he himself would lead to Iraq to fight the Persians. And that was on the 14th year after Hijrah. And he started preparing the armies in a camp in an area called Sirar. That is where the airport of Medina is today. And he started gathering the armies in that area. And he made Ali bin Abi Talib his successor and his commander over Medina, his governor over Medina, while he is gone into battle. So he prepared everything for himself to start going, and he took Uthman bin Affan with him to the battlefield, and he started preparing to walk with the army. And then Abdurrahman ibn Auf came to Umar ibn al-Khattab and told him, إِنِّي أَخْشَى إِن كُسِرْتَ أَن تَضْعُفَ الْمُسْلِمُونَ فِي سَائِرِ أَقْطَارِ الْأَرْضِ. He said, if you are defeated, if you are killed, Umar, if you are going into this dangerous battle, then you are jeopardizing not only the Persian front, not only the Muslim armies in Persia, but the entire Muslim armies everywhere will be weakened and will be shaken. And all these victories that are going on in Sham and in Mosul and everywhere else, that will all be history. That will all be gone. So, and he said, أَرَى أَن تَبْعَثَ رَجُلًا وَتَرْجِعَ أَن. He said, I see that you send somebody you trust. You send a commander instead of you and you come back. So, he said, who do you suggest? And Abdurrahman ibn Auf, he said, وَجَدْتُهُ. He said, I found him. And Umar said, who is he? And he said, الْأَسَدُ فِي بَرَاثِنِهِ سَعْدُ بْنُ مَالِكِ الزُّهْرِي. And he said, the lion in his den, his Sa'd bin Malik or Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas. And then Umar ibn al-Khattab sends to Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas, may Allah be pleased with both of them, and he gives him orders and he gives him command over that army that was prepared in Sirar to move to Al-Iraq. And then he sat with him and he talked to Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas. And you see with their speech how the Sahaba treated each other and how they were really very concerned about each other's closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and each other not falling into sin or arrogance or anything like that. So instead of telling him, ya Sa'd ibn Waqqas, you are one of the 10 that are given the glad tidings of paradise, you are one of the very first few that made it into Islam in the first few weeks of Islam, he sat with him and he said, yes, Sa'd, لا يغرنك من الله أن قيل خال رسول الله وصاحب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. He said, don't be fooled or don't be arrogant with yourself that they call you the uncle of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We know Amina bint Wahab is from Bani Zuhra, and Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas is from Bani Zuhra. So he is kin to Amina bint Wahab. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to call him uncle. So he said, don't let that go into your head in a way. Don't let that they say that you are the companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you are the uncle of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى لَيْسَ بَيْنَهُ وَبَيْنَ أَحَدٍ نَسَبْ إِلَّا طَاعَتُهُ. He said, the only kin to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is his obedience. That you are son of who and a brother of who and the uncle of who doesn't matter. The only relation to Allah is to stick to be adherent to his obedient. And then he said, النَّاسُ شَرِيفُهُمْ وَوَضِيعُهُمْ فِي ذَاتِ اللَّهِ سَوَاءٌ Allahu Rabbuhum wa hum ibaduh yatafadaluna bil afiyah. He said, everybody in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is equal. The elites and the downtrodden, the poor and the rich. And he said, people are best over each other by leaving sins. Al afiyah is to stay away from sins. Wa yudrikuna ma indahu bit ta'a. And they said they try to raise to what he has with his obedience. Then he said, فَانْظُرِ الْأَمْرَ الَّذِي رَأَيْتَ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ مِذْ بُعِثَ إِلَىٰ أَنْ فَارَقَنَا فَالْزَمُهُ فَإِنَّهُ الْأَمْرُ. He said, my only recommendation to you is to stick to the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from the day he was sent to this world until the day he left us. He said, that is the way. هذا الأمر فالزمه. Stick to it. This is the way and this is what you need to do. And then he said, هذه عظتي إياك. إن تركتها ورغبت عنها كنت من الخاسرين. He said, this is my recommendation to you, and if you leave it, you will be of the losers. And this is the greatness of that generation of Sahaba. Jazakallah khair ya akhi. Of that generation of Sahaba is Umar ibn al-Khattab talking to Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas. And among the Sahaba, Umar ibn al-Khattab, of course, he is the Khalifa. But in the rank of Sahaba, Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas is higher than him. He's one of the first as-sabiqoon. He came to Islam at least 2 years before Umar ibn al-Khattab. And Umar ibn al-Khattab always put these Sahaba in a special position. But when it's time to give him the advice, he did not spare him. And he did not let anything go to his head if he would have any arrogance or any boastfulness. And that is so furthest away from Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, is if we know his personality and we study his life, inshaAllah. After that, after Sa'd was preparing to leave, he said, you are coming on a very serious matter and a very fierce battle. He said, إني وقد وليتك حرب العراق. I gave you the command over the wars in Iraq. فاحفظ وصيتي فإنك تقدم على أمر شديد كريه لا يخلص منه إلا الحق. لا يخلص منه إلا الحق. He said, this is very tough, this is very fierce, and the only thing that will let you get through that is truthfulness and being on the right path. And then he said, وَعْلَمْ لِكُلِّ عَادَةٍ عَتَادًا. He said, everything that you need to do, you have to have the right tools. For everything, you have to be prepared. And he said, فَعَتَادُ الْخَيْرِ الصَّبْرِ. For goodness, the tools is patience. You have to be patient, you have to endure. Then he said, فَاصْبِرْ عَلَى مَا أَصَابَكَ تَجْتَمِعُ لَكَ خَشْيَةُ اللَّهِ وَاعْلَمْ أَنَّ خَشْيَةَ اللَّهِ تَجْتَمِعُ فِي أَمْرَيْنِ فِي طَاعَتِهِ وَاجْتِنَابِ مَعَصِيَتِهِ. He said, if you are endurance, if you are patient on the things that will hit you, you are going to a very tough battle. So make sure you will be patient and you will endure. And he said, that will bring the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to you. And two things will bring the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to you. That is to stay away from his sins and to adhere to his obedience. And actually the recommendation goes on and on. Just for the interest of time, we will shorten it to here, but it's such a beautiful speech that these Sahaba would give each other and remind each other, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَتَوَاصَوْ بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاصَوْ بِالصَّبْرِ. They remind each other with the right path, and they remind each other to stay patient and endure upon the tough things that will come to them. And then Umar walked with the entire army to the area called Al-Awas on the way to Iraq, and then he stopped. And then he stopped and he gave a speech to the entire army. He is looking at these people and he knows he's sending them to a very tough mission that many of them may not be back, and many of them are about to fight a very important battle in the history of Islam. And he said, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, إِنَّ اللَّهَ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى ضَرَبَ لَكُمُ الْأَمْثَالَ وَصَرَّفَ لَكُمُ الْقَوْلَ لِيُحْيِي بِهِ الْقُلُوبِ فَإِنَّ الْقُلُوبَ مَيِّتَةٌ فِي صُدُورِهَا حَتَّى يُحْيِيهَا اللَّهُ. He said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave you similitudes and examples, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave you the words, the Qur'an, to revive your hearts. Because the hearts are dead in the chest until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala resurrect it and revive it. مَنْ عَلِمَ شَيْئًا فَلْيَنْتَفِعْ بِهِ. He said, whoever knows any knowledge, let them apply it to their life. Those who have the knowledge of Iman and Islam, let them apply it. He said, this is his first recommendation to his army. He said, وَإِنَّ لِلْعَدْلِ أَمَارَاتٌ وَتَبَاشِيرٌ فَأَمَّا الْأَمَارَاتُ فَالْحَيَاءُ وَالسَّخَاءُ وَالْهَيْنُ وَاللَّيْنُ وَأَمَّا التَّبَاشِيرُ فَالرَّحْمَةُ. He said, for fairness and being on the straight path, there are signs. And there are glad tidings. The signs of that, al-haya, the shyness from sins. Was-sakha, and being generous. Wal-hayn wal-layn, to be easygoing, to deal easy with each other. He knows these brothers, these soldiers that he's sending, they're going to spend hard times together. And he's given them what they need to do during that rough time. أما التباشير, but the glad tidings is الرحمة, the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That means if you do the first, the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will come upon you. وَقَدْ جَعَلَ اللَّهُ لِكُلِّ أَمْرٍ بَابًا وَيَسَّرَ لِكُلِّ بَابٍ مِفْتَاحًا فَبَابُ الْعَدْلِ الْاعْتِبَارُ وَمِفْتَاحُهُ الزُّهْدُ وَالْاعْتِبَارُ ذِكْرُ الْمَوْتِ بِتَذَكُّرِ الْأَمْوَاتِ وَالْاِسْتِعْدَادُ لَهُ بِتَقْدِيمِ الْأَعْمَالِ وَالزُّهْدُ أَخْذُ الْحَقِّ مِنْ كُلِّ أَحَدٍ قِبَلَهُ حَقٍّ وَتَأْدِيَةُ الْحَقِّ إِلَى كُلِّ أَحَدٍ لَهُ حَقٍّ. He said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made a door for everything so you can enter in. And for every door He gave you a key to open that door. So He said, for al-adl, for justice, that door of justice has a key, and that key is az-zuhd, is not to be concerned about this dunya. And then He said, this door of adl is about making sure that you heed and you understand the lessons that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends your way. And He said, from that is mentioning death, and remembering death, and remembering to prepare for death by the good deeds, and not minding the dunya is by giving whatever you owe to anybody, to them, and not to take anything that does not belong to you. So by that, Al-Muthanna was waiting for Sa'd in an area called Dhiqar, and we spoke of that. There was a battle before Islam, and Al-Muthanna had about 12,000 that were with him. Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas left the Medina with about 4,000 to 6,000. There were some different narrations, and the army that was with Sa'd was about 4,000 to 6,000. And Al-Muthanna and Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, on his way in Najd, he got about 7,000 people that he drafted. He drafted, as with the recommendation of Umar ibn al-Khattab to draft people, he drafted 7,000 on the way there. Muthanna had 12,000, and then Umar sends another 4,000, so the army that was about to gather in that area was about 30,000 Muslim fighters in total. And Sa'd moved, and he stayed in an area called Zarud, and or Zarwad, in south of Iraq. And he started preparing his army to walk to meet Al-Muthanna in Dhiqar. At that time, Al-Muthanna, may Allah be pleased with him. As we said, Sa'd recruited 7,000 from Najd as he were preparing in this area of Zarud. And Umar sends him about 4,000 more. So the army of Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas was growing, and there was about 12,000 waiting with Al-Muthanna in the Qar, and the Persians were preparing their largest army at that time. At that time, Al-Muthanna ibn Haritha becomes ill. And the narration in some of the history books that he was wounded in the battle of Al-Jisr. And that wound kept getting infected, or he was sick from that wound, and then finally he had a severe illness. And Al-Muthanna ibn Haritha al-Shaybani, may Allah be pleased with him, dies without meeting Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas before, wa alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah, before Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas comes to him. So he knew that in his illness that he was leaving this world, and he gives his will to Sa'd. And he gave his recommendation to Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas. And he said to not enter into the area where the Persians are preparing their armies and drag them to where you are. Let them come to you. Drag them away from their settlements. Drag them away from their areas of war. And bring them to the land of Arabs. He said, to bring them closer to the land of Arabs. And in that, the same recommendation of Umar ibn al-Khattab, do not leave a body of water basically between you and your enemy. So that way, if you have to retreat, then the army will be basically wiped out. So, and then the other thing, the amazing thing that Al-Muthanna did, and that just reflects the manners and the values of that generation. He asked his wife, he asked Sa'd Abi Waqqas to marry his widow after his death. Said, after her iddah is done, and she finishes with her iddah, I would like you to marry my widow. So she will be an aid to Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas in recommending many things during the war. And we will see that she played some role, and her name was Salma. She played some role during the battle of Al-Qadisiyah itself. And the other thing is, she is from Shayban. And she knows the territory, she knows the behavior of the Persians. Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas is from Mecca, and he does not know the manners of the Persians, although he is a great leader, as we will see. And then Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas moves after the death of Al-Muthanna bin Haritha al-Shaybani, may Allah pleased with him, and Umar asked Sa'd to move to Al-Iraq and gave him more advice about how to fight the enemy. And in his final advice, he said, my final recommendation to you and your soldiers is at-taqwa. The taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the piety, the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, إِنَّ تَقْوَى اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ أَفْضَلُ الْعِدَّةِ عَلَى الْعَدُوِ. The best preparedness for the enemy is at-taqwa. And he said, وَأَقْوَى الْعِدَّةِ فِي الْحَرْبِ. This is the most important weapon in the war. And he said, وَأَمُرُكَ وَمَنْ مَعَكَ أَن تَكُونُوا أَشَدَّ احْتِرَاسًا مِنَ الْمَعَاصِي مِنْكُمْ مِنْ عَدُوِكُمْ. He said, beware of your own sins more than you watch your enemy. He said, as hard as you want to watch your enemy, watch yourselves even more. Watch your sins more. And then he said, فَإِنَّ ذُنُوبَ الْجَيْشِ أَخْوَفُ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنْ عَدُوِهِمْ. He said, the sins of the army, the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is more dangerous than your enemy. وَإِنَّمَا يُنصَرُ الْمُسْلِمُونَ بِمَعْصِيَةِ عَدُوِهِمْ لِلَّهِ. He said, the victory comes to Muslim because the enemy is disobedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he said, وَلَوْلَا ذَلِكَ لَمْ تَكُنْ لَنَا بِهِمْ قُوَّةٍ. He said, if it's not for that, we cannot defeat them. لِأَنَّهُمْ لِأَنَّ عَدَدَنَا لَيْسَ كَعَدَدِهِمْ وَعُدَّتُنَا لَيْسَتْ كَعُدَّتِهِمْ. He said, our numbers are not like theirs, and our weapons are not like theirs. They are better prepared, and there are more of them. So if it is not for their disobedience, we would not be able to defeat them. So if we are sinners, then we are equal in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sinners against sinners, but they have better equipment and more numbers, then they will be defeated, then the Muslim army will be defeated. He said, فَإِذَا اسْتَوَيْنَا فِي الْمَعْصِيَةِ كَانَ لَهُمُ الْفَضْلُ عَلَيْنَا فِي الْقُوَّةِ وَإِلَّا نَنْصُرْ عَلَيْهِمْ بِفَضْلِنَا لَمْ نَغْلِبْهُمْ بِقُوَّتِنَا. He said, our only advantage over them is this piety. So the final recommendation is to keep the piety of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And again, these recommendations, this khutbah is beautiful. And it is narrated in multiple books, mostly in Al-Tabari. In the book of Al-Tabari. And we just took one paragraph of that. Sa'd moves to Dhiqar and he gathers the entire Muslim army together, the 30,000 strong fighters. Then he chose a place called Al-Qadisiyah. The Qadisiyah is a river goes, it's a river called Al-Qadisiyah and it goes right into the Euphrates. It's like a little branch of a tributary to the Euphrates River. And he, based on the recommendation of Al-Muthanna bin Harith al-Shaybani, he wanted to choose the battlefield. And he wanted the army of the Persians to be dragged to the battlefield. Oh. Yeah, the number, the al-udda is the equipment, and al-udda al-adad is the number of the army. And the other thing is al-udda goes into the period of mourning, the obligatory mourning after death also as well, and after divorce for women. Jazakumullah khair. So we continue on our Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas chooses Al-Qadisiyah and he staged the battlefield. And one important thing that Muslim did in this particular preparedness for Al-Qadisiyah was not only they drafted those who are able, this is the first army that Umar ibn al-Khattab allows Al-Murtadeen to fight. The people that made Ridda, that left Islam, after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they repented and came back. Muslims would not let them go to battle. They would see in them a weakness because their iman was very weak at that time, and they left Islam altogether when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam died, and they had their own prophets. But this time the Murtadeen came, and Umar ibn Khattab allowed them, and he asked Sa'd. He said, let them be with you, but do not make them commanders over 100 or more. He said, don't give them command. He is afraid that they may make Ridda again. If the Persians are victorious, then they may take part of the army and join the Persians, like the opportunity that they took. And one of them was Tulayhat ibn Khuwaylid al-Asadi, or al-Uzdi. The Tulayhat ibn Khuwaylid, he became a prophet after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He claimed that he is a prophet. He was a false prophet, and then he was defeated by Khalid ibn al-Walid in the battle of Ar-Ridda, and he escaped. And then he came back and he repented. But he was one of the false prophets that appeared in Arabia after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the other one is Amr ibn Ma'd Yakrib from Zubayd. And those were very good fighters, very good soldiers, and they came to Sa'd. And they said, let us be with you. So Sa'd sent a letter to Umar ibn al-Khattab. He said, these men are coming. And they're good fighters. And they're good people and they're repenting. And Umar said, let them be with you. But do not make them commanders over an army. And that's important because we will see how they did and how they behaved during this fierce battle. So Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas sent to Umar ibn al-Khattab and tell him about Al-Qadisiyah, and he positioned his armies, and the Persians take position with 100,000, and at the time of the battle, the Persian army will be about 120,000 Persian fighters against 30,000 of the Muslims. And the Persians cross the Euphrates down to the other side, and they take position. Sa'd starts sending messengers to Al-Mada'in. Based on the recommendation of Umar ibn al-Khattab. He sent to Umar ibn al-Khattab telling him that Rustam is coming himself. Now Rustam is like vice president in Persia. He is the general, the commander-in-chief for the armed forces. He is the general. Him and Al-Fayruzan were the two that were fighting over the throne. So he said Rustam is leading this force. He is the highest commander that we are to face in battle to date. And then he said, everybody that the Muslims had treaties with in Sawad al-Iraq, in this area of Iraq, everybody became with Rustum, and everybody rejected the treaties of the Muslims. And then he said, they are trying to lure us into that area. And what I did is I chose an area outside into the Arab lands and into the desert, and it's called Al-Qadisiyah. Umar said, قَدْ جَاءَنِي كِتَابُكَ وَفَهَمْتُ. He said, I understood your letter and I understood your position. فَأَقِمْ بِمَكَانِكَ. Stay where you are. He said, don't move. Don't let them lure you out. حَتَّى يَنْغُضَ اللَّهُ لَكَ عَدُوَّكَ. Until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala lure your enemy up to you. وَعْلَمْ أَنَّ لَهَا مَا بَعْدَهَا فَإِنْ مَنَحَكَ اللَّهُ أَدْبَارَهُمْ فَلَا تَنْزِعْ حَتَّى تَقْحُمَ عَلَيْهِمُ الْمَدَائِنَ. فَإِنَّهُ خَرَابُهَا إِنْشَاءَ اللَّهِ. He gave him the next stage. He said, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala let you defeat him here, then do not leave Iraq until you enter the Madain. Because that, after he knew that Rustam is coming to this battle, he said, this is it. This is it. This is not like Al-Jisr, this is not like Al-Buwaib, this is not like any of the other battles. He said, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you this battle, then move on to Al-Madain. فَإِنَّهَا لَكْ. It will be for you, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ruin it for you, inshaAllah. And then he said, send the messengers, the ambassadors to Kisra, to Yazdajrid, and let them offer him what we came for. We didn't come to ruin. We didn't come to kill. We didn't come to conquer. We came to offer Islam. So, Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas sends 14 ambassadors to Kisra, Yazdajrid. And the one on top of this mission, the delegation, was An-Nu'man ibn Muqrin. And we will hear a lot about An-Nu'man ibn Muqrin in the next few sessions, inshallah. And he sent them to Kisra, among many. And these are the du'ad. These are people that are calling for the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they were handpicked by Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas because they knew Persians well. And they knew, many of them knew the Persian language, and they knew Farsi, and they knew how to deal with Persians. So they came to Al-Madain, and these 14 people, and they came upon Kisra. And Kisra asked them through an interpreter. He said, مَا جَاءَ بِكُمْ وَدَعَاكُمْ إِلَىٰ غَزْوِنَا وَالْوُلُوغُ بِبِلَادِنَا أَمِنْ أَجْلِ أَنَّا تَشَغَلْنَا عَنْكُمْ اجْتَرَأْتُمْ عَلَيْنَا. He said, what brought you here? What brought you into our land? What brought you into our territory? Were you fooled that we were busy for you? Because they had a conflict, an internal conflict in Al-Madain, as we said before. He said, is that what fooled you and let you dare to fight us? And Nu'man spoke to him, and he said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ رَحِمَنَا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had mercy on us. فَأَرْسَلَ إِلَيْنَا رَسُولًا يَأْمُرُنَا بِالْخَيْرِ وَيَنْهَانَا عَنِ الشَّرِّ وَوَعَدَنَا عَلَىٰ إِجَابَتِهِ خَيْرَي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. He said, no, that's not the reason. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala send us a mercy, send us a prophet, that he let us enjoin good deeds and prevent us from doing bad deeds. And he promised us the best of dunya and the best of the hereafter if we respond to his call. And then he said, فَلَمْ يَدَعْ قَبِيلَةً قَارَبَهُ مِنْهَا فُرْقَةً وَتَبَاعَدَ عَنْهُ مِنْهَا فُرْقَةً. He said, he started with his tribes. He started with the Arabs, and he started with us. He started giving us the recommendation and the message. And then he said, ثُمَّ أَمَرَ أَن نَبْتَدِئَ مِمَنْ خَالَفَهُ مِنَ الْعَرَبِ. Then we started moving out to those who disagreed and they rejected from the Arabs. And then he said they came to Islam. And then after that, he ordered us to start with the nations around us. بِمَنْ جَوَرَنَا مِنَ الْأُمَمِ فَنَدْعُوهُمْ إِلَى الْإِنصَافِ. So we call them into justice and fairness. This is the call of Islam. And then he said, فَنَحْنُ نَدْعُوكُمْ إِلَىٰ دِينِنَا. We are calling upon you to join our religion. وَهُوَ دِينٌ حَسَّنَ الْحَسَنِ. This is a religion that made the good better. وَقَبَّحَ الْقَبِيحِ. And made and let us stay away from the bad things and made it worse in our eyes. فَإِنْ أَبَيْتُمْ. And if you refuse, فَأَمْرٌ مِنْ شَرٍ أَهْوَنٌ مِنْ شَرٍ غَيْرِهِ. He said, you choose one evil that may be less than another evil. الجزية, the tax, to become under the Muslim government and to pay our jizya to us. فَإِنْ أَبَيْتُمْ فَالْمُنَاجَزَةِ. But if you refuse, then we have to fight. And then he said, but if you respond to our deen, if you respond to our religion, خَلَّفْنَا فِيكُمْ كِتَابَ اللَّهِ, we leave you the book of Allah, the Creator, the Almighty. وَأَقَمْنَا عَلَىٰ أَن تَحْكُمُوا بِأَحْكَامِهِ, and you will pass the judgment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala among you. وَنَرْجِعُ مِنْكُمْ وَشَأْنَكُمْ وَبِلَادَكُمْ, and we will leave you your own kingdom and your own territories. We will turn away and leave if you let the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prevail over your land. And then he said, the king of Persia, the Kisra, Yazdajrat, said, he said, إِنِّي لَا أَعْلَمُ أُمَّةً فِي الْأَرْضِ كَانَتْ أَشْقَى وَلَا أَقَلَّ عَدَدًا وَلَا أَسْوَأَ ذَاتَ بَيْنٍ مِنْكُمْ. He said, I didn't know about any nation that was worse than you, and any nation that were poorer than you, and any nation that hated each other and killed each other like you do. He said, what brought you up here? You are the worst nation that I've ever heard of. The Arabs at that time, the tribes that would just kill each other, invade each other, steal, rob each other. He said, كُنَّا نُوَكِّلُ لَكُمْ قُرَى الضَّوَاحِي فَيَكْفُونَنَا أَمْرَكُمْ. He said, I used to leave those people on the borders to just take care of you. Never Persians would even, he said, it's not even, you're not even worthy of me fighting you. I used to send you those who are allied with me to fight you. He said, فَلَا تَطْمَعُونَ أَن تَقُومُوا لِفَارِسِ. Don't fool yourself and you think you will stand for Persia. You will not. And he said, فَإِنْ كَانَ غُرُورٌ لَحِقَكُمْ فَلَا يَغُرَّنَّكُمْ مِنَّا. And if it is something that if you are boasted by your small victories, don't let that fool you. وَإِنْ كَانَ الْجَهْدِ. But if you are poor, if you are coming here, you want some loot, you want some money, he said, فَرَضْنَا لَكُمْ قُوتًا, I will give you some money. And we will, وَأُكْرَمْنَا وُجُوهَكُمْ, we will give some money to your elite, وَكَسَوْنَاكُمْ, and we will give you clothes to wear, وَمَلَّكْنَا عَلَيْكُمْ مَلِكًا, and we will send you a king. I will send you one of my commanders, will become your king. يَرْفِقُ بِكُمْ, he will treat you well. Of course, the way they were treating the people over there. Then Al-Mughira ibn Zurara stood up. He said, أَمَّا مَا ذَكَرْتَ مِنْ سُوءِ الْحَالِ, what you mentioned about us before Islam, there was nothing worse than us before Islam. This is it. You were right. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us the mercy of Islam and He gave us the dignity of Islam. So you have three choices. You have Islam, you have jizya, you have war. So don't try to give us any other options. Don't send us kings. Don't give us money. We are not here for that. As Dajrad responded, he said, لَوْلَا أَنَّ الرُّسُلَ لَا تُقْتَلْ لَقَتَلْتُكُمْ عِنْدِي. He said, if it's not that ambassadors and messengers are not killed, I would kill you right now. لَا شَيْءَ لَكُمْ عِنْدِي. You have nothing here with me. Then he said, bring some dust, bring some dirt. And then he said, let one of them carry dirt out of this place. Who is the best of you? Who is your elite? Asim ibn Amr. And we will see about Asim later on. He said, I am their most honorable one. Put the dirt in my back. Put the dirt on me. So they put the dirt on Asim ibn Amr, and he let Asim ibn Amr carry the dirt away from the court of Kisra. And Asim ibn Amr said, Abshiru. This is a glad tidings. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us the soil of Persia. He let the king of Persia give us the soil of Persia, and these are the key to his kingdom. And inshallah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is a glad tiding with the victory that is coming. So Rustam, after this, Rustam prepared his army, and Sa'd sent different delegation to Rustam himself. And Rustam had his own big tent, carpeted with silk, and he had this gold, and he had this fancy court. In the battlefield, everything, he's like, as we said, he's like a vice king or a vice Kisra, if you will. And the way it's described that the carpets were silk, and there was gold thread in the cushions and the pillow. It was all just so fancy. So the delegation of Sa'd comes, and they're Bedouins. So the man that he sent is Rubai ibn Amir. It's a man from, and he came and he has his sword and he has his spear and he's walking over the silk and just tearing it apart with his spear, just walking with his clothes into this fancy place. And then he let his horse come into that silk carpet, that is the rugs of silk. He let his horse come in, he got off his horse with his dirty shoes, and he walked to meet Rustam. And then he said, sat down with Rustam, and they said, put your weapons down. He said, I was called upon to come to you, and you asked for messengers to come to you, so I will not put down my weapon. If I came to you, then I would put down my weapon, but you asked to meet us. Rustam asked Sa'd to send him some people to talk to. And then he came to Rustam and he sat down next to him. Now, they don't even sit down when Rustam is present. And here is this man coming out of the desert, and he comes to Rustam and he sit down next to him on his bed. And on the floor next to him. And Rustam said, "Ma ja'a bikum? What brought you here?" And the Rub'i said, "Allahu ja'a bina. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought us here." And he said, "Ba'athana li nukhrija an-nasa min 'ibadati al-'ibad ila 'ibadati Allah." We are to take people out of worshipping the slaves to worshipping Allah. He's reminding Rustam, don't let that. These people that are bowing to you and kneeling to you, you only are a slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمِنْ ضِيقِ الدُّنْيَا إِلَى سِعَتِهَا. From the narrowness of this dunya into the vast wide of dunya, the light of iman of dunya. وَمِنْ جَوْرِ الْأَدْيَانِ إِلَى عَدْلِ الْإِسْلَامِ. From the injustice of the religions into the fairness and justice of Islam. And then he said, so he sent us Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with this deen. Whoever accept this deen from us, we will accept it from him and we will leave him alone. And those who refuse, then we will fight them until we either go to paradise or to victory. Rustam discussed with him and he knew that he's not going to go anywhere with this man. He said, "Would you give us a respite? Would you give us time to think about this thing that you said?" He said, "Yes, we will give you time, but the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ that we give you only 3 days. That's all you will have. So choose one of the three, Islam, jizya, or war. And the fourth day is when we start fighting, unless you start before the fourth day." So Rustam said, "Can you guarantee that you will not fight for the next 3 days?" He said, "Yes, I will guarantee it." He said, "Are you the leader? Are you the commander? How are you giving me, you're a messenger, how are you giving me guarantee without going?" He's trying to buy time. Rustam is trying to buy more time, messenger in, messenger out. He said, how are you giving me guarantees? He said, "Al-Muslimuna kal-jasad al-wahid." He said, the Muslims are like one body. "Yujiru ba'duhum min ba'd. Yujiru adnahum a'lahum." He said, "I am like my commander. And when I give you my word, it's like the word of my commander, because Muslims are like one body, and I speak, he sent me with his message to speak for him, so I can give you my warranty." And then he left. So Rustam looked at his people and he said, "Ra'aytum kalaman qat mithla kalami hadha ar-rajul." He said, "Have you ever seen like this man before? I've never seen anybody who so confident, so daring, so full of faith, obviously, like this man." So he said, "Send us another one. Maybe the other one we can negotiate with." So they send Hudhayfa ibn Muhsin, same deal, same thing, nothing changes. It's the same message. So they send Al-Mughira ibn Shu'ba, the third day. He asked the third one. And Al-Mughira sat next to Kisra on his bed, so people dragged him away. He said, "Well, are you sitting on the throne of Rustam? This is Rustam, you're sitting next on the throne to him." And then Al-Mughira ibn Shu'ba said, "Kanat tablughuna ankum al-ahlam." We thought you were intelligent people. We thought that you Persian are good, "Wala ara qawman asfaha minkum." I don't see people that are more stupid than you are. He said, "Inna ma'ashara al-arab al-muslimun." We are Muslim. "La yasta'abidu ba'duna ba'dan." We are not slaves to one another. So he said, "Better than what you do is to go to Islam. And this, your condition, what you are in, will not be straightened out until you accept Islam." And the laymen that were around that heard Al-Mughira said, they said, "Wallahi, he is telling the truth. We are becoming slaves to these people, the Persians that are coming." And the elite around Rustam, they said that they are nothing but poor people coming out of the desert to get our money, and we will fight them and turn them back to the desert. So this is the plain of Al-Qadisiyah. This is called Al-Atiq River. This is a small river goes into the Euphrates, and it's called Al-Atiq or called Al-Qadisiyah. Rustam was camping on the other shore, and Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas with his men were camping on in Al-Qadisiyah plains. So after these negotiations, Rustam and his people crossed Al-Qadisiyah and crossed the river of Al-Atiq, and they camped in an area across from the Muslim camp. And he started preparing his army. Rustam did. And he put his major commanders in that army. He put the Hormuzan, Jalinos, Jazway, and Mahran. These are all names that we became familiar with from the last session. These are all leaders. Jazway is the leader of Al-Jisr, the Battle of Al-Jisr, where Muslims were defeated. Mahran was in Al-Buwayb, and Jalinos was in the battle before that. And these are all the best commanders that the Persians had. And he put his armies like that. He put in the on the right Jalinos, and on the far right he put Al-Hormuzan, and on the left he put Mahran, and in the middle he put his best commander Jazway, and he sat in a higher place to supervise everything that is going on in the battle place. Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas did the same thing. He put Abdullah ibn al-Mu'attam on the right. He put in the front Zuhra ibn al-Huwayya, and he put in the heart of the army Asim ibn Amr, one of the people that we will hear about a lot during this battle, inshallah, and Shurahbil ibn al-Samt on the left. And some of these Sahaba were not, some of these people are not very familiar name-wise to us, but Sa'd chose them because of their experience, because of they know how to fight the Persian armies, and they know how to lead people in the Persian army. And then he put a writer for the army, and that was Ziyad ibn Abi Sufyan. And then he put Da'iyah, he put a caller for Allah in this Persian, in this army to fight Persian. And it was one Persian, it was Salman al-Farisi, may Allah be pleased with him, in this battle. And he started all of this preparedness with the orders of Umar ibn al-Khattab, may Allah be pleased with him. However, as Sa'd was preparing for battle, he had a severe illness. He had sciatica. He had sciatic nerve inflammation. And if anybody had that, they know how painful that is. And the entire leg becomes extremely painful and cannot get on a horse, cannot walk. So he became crippled with that illness. And he also had what is called as habub, as either rash or small abscesses as well. So he could not even sit down at all, and he had to be laying in the prone position on his stomach to watch what is going on. And he made his khutbah before the battle of Al-Qadisiyah while he was laying flat on his stomach, and he started with the call of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الْحَقُّ لَا شَرِيكَ لَهُ فِي الْمُلْكِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-haq, and he has no partner in his kingdom. And قَالَ اللَّهُ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى وَلَقَدْ كَتَبْنَا فِي الزَّبُورِ مِنْ بَعْدِ الذِّكْرِ أَنَّ الْأَرْضَ يَرِثُهَا عِبَادِيَ الصَّالِحُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wrote from the days of Az-Zabur, in Az-Zabur, that the earth, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give earth in inheritance to the righteous of his slaves. And then he said, إِنَّ هَذَا مِرَاثُكُمْ. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised you. وَقَدْ أَبَاحَهَا لَكُمْ مِنْذُ ثَلَاثِ حُجَجٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the last 3 years let you be over this land. This is the third year of fighting in Iraq. And then he said, وَقَدْ جَاءَكُمْ مِنْهُمْ هَذَا الْجَمَّةِ. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala let this gathering come to you, the Persian army. وَأَنْتُمْ وُجُوهُ الْعَرَبِ وَأَعْيَانُهُمْ وَخِيَارُ كُلِّ قَبِيلَ. And you are the elite of the Arabs, the Muslim Arabs. And he said, because the way he divided his troops, and that what we will see inshallah as we will go through the battle, is by tribes. So he put the people of Tamim together, he put the people of Hudayl together, he put the people of Rabi'ah together. He would have each tribe together, because these are new Muslims, and they still have that sense of togetherness within their own tribe. The other advantage to that is these people had been in many battles with, not with the Muslims, but with their own tribes. And they're more used to fighting with their tribesmen than they are with the larger Muslim armies. So he intelligently and rightfully divided a lot of the Muslim subdivisions and brigades into a tribe loyalty, but still under the general commander of the Muslims. So he said, do not be weakened and do not differ with each other, and do not let weakness come and let you not be one front in front of your enemy. And then they made adhan, and the adhan reached the camp of the Persians. And it was reported in history that Rustam himself was trembling with fear when he started hearing the words Allahu Akbar and calling for the adhan from the Muslim camp. So Sa'd boosts the morale of his army, and the first day of the battle starts, of this great battle of Al-Qadisiyah. Most of the battles of Islam are less than one day. Most of the battles that we started and we read and we studied together were a day or maximum of 2 days. But we will see that Al-Qadisiyah will be a different deal. This is the battle that decided the fate of the Persian Empire and decided the fate of Islam into the area of Iraq, all the way at what is known today of Iran, Pakistan, Afghanistan, into the borders of China. This is the battle that decided all of that. So this battle will be going over many days. The first day is called Yawm Armaf, the day of Armaf. I don't know. That's the name. It's called Armath wa Umwath, and all of these names has to do probably with a different language. These are not even Arabic words. So Allahu Alam. So the first day, Sa'd said to his army, do not do anything unless we pray Dhuhr. And after we pray the Dhuhr, I will start the first takbirah. And Sa'd was in a small house, in what they called a small palace in this area, and he was on top to be able to supervise the entire battle area, because he was not able to fight himself. He was ill. But so he would have these commanders follow his orders, and he will look over the battlefield. So he said, after the first takbirah, become ready and be aware that the takbir only given to this ummah and only given to you, and this is a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to support you. After the second takbirah, then prepare your tools, prepare your weapons. And then with the third takbirah, make your own takbir. And with the fourth one, then start going into the battle and say, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billahi al-aliyy al-azim. So, Sa'd made the salah, and he read, based on the command of Umar ibn al-Khattab, read Surah Al-Anfal. Surah Al-Anfal, by the way, is known in among some scholars as Surah Al-Jihad. This has a lot about jihad. It's known as Surah Al-Jihad or Surah Al-Anfal. And he was given orders by Umar what to read during the Salah. And he read Surah Al-Anfal. And he ordered the Anfal to be read in every division, in every platoon, in every brigade, in every section of his army. And the eyes were ready. And the eyes were tearing, preparing for this battle, preparing to die in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he started the takbir and made the first and the second and the third takbir. And after that, the third takbir started the duel. The duel of the fighting started. And the ones that come out for the duels were none but the people that were from the Ridda. Tulayha ibn Khuwaylid al-Asadi, the one that claimed before that he's a prophet, he was the first to come into the duel and offer his life. Ma'd ibn Yakrib, Ma'd Yakrib al-Yazidi, he became also one of the people that rebelled against Islam. He was one of the first people to come into the battle of Al-Qadisiyah, and the duel started, and Sa'd made the fourth takbirah, and the battle of Al-Qadisiyah went underway. With the Muslims. With the Muslims, these ridda, these people that rebelled against Islam, came to offer their lives for Islam after they repented in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the fighting started and the armies got together. And what the Muslims had to face in that first day was the elephants. The elephant is like the super weapon that Persian armies had that the Muslim armies did not have. Their horses are not trained to see elephants, much less to fight against elephants. And the Muslim fighters themselves are not experienced in fighting an army with elephants. Most of them are not. And the attack was in the center on a tribe of Jubayla, and the tribe of Bujayla. And the tribe of Bujayla was surrounded, and they were being hammered from everywhere, especially from the heart of the Persian army. And Sa'd was watching, and he saw the bind and the dire straits that Bujayla was in. They were about to be closed away and be surrounded from the Muslim army and be wiped out. And if that was to do, and Rustam wanted to do that one tribe after the other, to get one tribe, get them finished, move to the other, get them finished, and that way he will get the entire Muslim army. So Asad was the tribe that was closest to Bujayla. And they were led by the man that we said, Tulayha ibn Khuwaylid al-Asadi, the people of Asad. So he started coming into the help, into the aid of Bujayla, and they tried to penetrate and get into the heart of the Persian army trying to defend the tribe of Bujayla. And then Jalinos and Zulhajib or Jazaway came, the two divisions of that Persian army became closer and tried to hit into the Asad and Bujayla, and at that time Tamim came. The third tribe of Tamim came to help with the fighting. So Sa'd sent to Asim ibn Amr. Asim ibn Amr is the leader of that section, and he's from Tamim. And he said, "Ya ma'ashara Tamim, alastum ashab al-ibli wal-khayl? You are the horsemen, and you are the people that have the camels and the horse. Don't you have a trick for these elephants? Is there anything we can do for these elephants? They're about to wipe all these three tribes together." And Amr said, "Bala wallahi, yes, wallahi, we know how to fight these elephants. They have experience. Tamim has some experience fighting Persians before." He said, "You start throwing arrows into the people that are leading the elephant. Those people on top that are riding the elephant, you shoot them with arrows from afar, and you kill them." And then he said, "Once you do that, you come from behind the elephant and you cut the robes where all of these saddles are on top of the elephants, and they will fall from the elephant, and the elephants will not be guided." So that's what Tamim did, and that's what Tamim's role was, and that's how they were able to defend Bujayla and Asad, and they were able to return the armies back that were about to wipe out Bujayla at that day. Asad is one tribe that rebelled against Islam only 4 or 5 years before this battle. Subhanallah. They lose 500 martyrs. 500 martyrs defending the Islam and defending the tribe of Bujayla. And that was Tulayha ibn Khuwaylid. That was his contribution, the false prophet that he claimed prophethood before this battle with just a few years. After this day was over, the night that is called Laylatul Hada, the night of quietness. And that first day, that night, there was no fighting. And there was a small hospital where Muslim women, they were taking care of the wounded in the area called Al-Uzayb. And the wounded were taken out of the field of the battle. And the women were enticing people and infusing enthusiasm and their own husbands and their own sons to fight and to show more fierce fighting in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And one example to that is a sahabiyya, is a companion known to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who is a poet, a woman poet at that time. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to listen to her poetry, and he would ask her for more. He said, "Ihi khunas, come on khunas, khun khadsa, say more." And she knew the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and she had four children. And she put her children together, and she said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, isbiru wa sabiru wa rabitu, wattaqullaha la'allakum tuflihun." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "Oh, you believe, be patient and endurance, and then fight in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as you may attain success for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." She said, "Fa'idha asbahtum ghadan," when you get up tomorrow in the morning, inshaAllah salimeen, "faghdu ila qitali aduwikum," go on to fight your enemy, "mustabsirina wa billahi ala a'da'ihi mustansirin," and ask the victory and ask the support from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. She has only four children, and she threw them, all four of them, into the battlefield. And that night, as we said, there was no fighting. The second day was called the day of Aghwaf. And in that day, something important happens. A help from Asham comes. The people, some of the people that had a lot of fighting in Iraq, they knew the fighting in Iraq, they arrived to the battlefield after Khalid sent them back. Khalid took with him about 6,000 to Asham, and he sent 4,000 of them back to help with this important battle. And that help from Asham, this support from Asham, was led by Hashim ibn Utbah. Hashim ibn Utbah ibn Abi Waqqas, he is Sa'd's nephew. And they had 4,000 to 6,000 according to most accounts. And the front platoon was 1,000. The front section of that army was led by a hero of Islam. And this hero of Islam will become the hero of one of the heroes of Al-Qadisiyah. And his name is Al-Qa'qa' ibn Amr. Al-Qa'qa' ibn Amr, according to Abu Bakr and Umar, is worth 1,000 fighters. He's one of the people that when Umar sent support, he said, "I send you 4,000 and four people, each one of them is equal to 1,000. This is one of them, Al-Qa'qa' ibn Amr. And Abu Bakr said about him that he is worth 1,000 men. And he had 1,000 that he was leading. And that was the support that came from Asham. And Al-Qa'qa' had a lot of experience in fighting. He's one of the great leaders in fighting. And he said to all his people, Don't 1,000 of you come into the battlefield. I want you to come 10 by 10. And every 10 that come, everybody will make takbir and let them hear you. So 10 horsemen would come and make a lot of dust, and a lot of takbir would come on. And then another 10 would come. And 100 times this happened, and the Persians were shaken. So how many armies are coming? How many people are coming to this battlefield? And this is how he boosted the morale of the Muslims. He only had about 1,000, but he asked them to come 10 at a time with loud takbir with each arrival. And that boosted the Muslim morale. Then Al-Qa'qa challenged the Persians. He said, "I am the leader of this group, send me somebody to have a duel with." So the man that came to him, he said, none but Jazawi himself. Jazawi comes out. And Jazawi had a history with Muslims. He led the battle of the bridge of Abu Ubaid. And Jazawi comes out, and Al-Qa'qa meets him, and Al-Qa'qa fights Jazawi in this duel. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grace and help, Jazawi is killed. This man that was the reason for many, many Muslims to be killed and martyred in the battle of Al-Jisr was killed by Al-Qa'qa ibn Amr. Then another leader took his position, Al-Bayruzan. And Al-Qa'qa said, "I want another duel." So the Bayruzan comes out. And he fights with the Bayruzan, and he kills him. So he already killed 2 out of 5 generals, out of 5 leaders in that. After immediately he first arrived, he killed 2 of the most important leaders of that Persian armies. And after that, Al-Qa'qa, after he killed 2 of them, the Persian morale was down. And Al-Qa'qa asked the tribe of Tamim for a trick. He said, "What was the problem yesterday?" They said, "The elephant." So he had said to Tamim, "Why don't you make your camels look like elephants?" He said, "How?" He said, "Well, disguise them." put bells, put sounds, put things that will make noise and put a lot of wrapping around them and make them scary. So Tamim did that. They put the camels and they put garments and they put bells and sounds and whistles and things. And these camels didn't look like camels. They looked like nothing that anybody knew before. And and that tricks worked well. As these camels were led into the battlefield, the Persian horses got scared. What is that? And they started withdrawing. And that was one of the things that Al-Qaqa did. And then he charges by himself 30 attacks. 30 charges. Now, each charge is like a small battle by itself. And during that day, Al-Qaqa charges 30 times against the Persians and against the Persian heart of that army. And the battle of the day of Awath was extremely fierce. One of the heroic acts that happened during the day of Awath was these four children of Al-Khansa, four heroes of Islam, one after the other, will say some poetry. And he will go into the battlefield and he will be killed. The first one was killed. His brother followed. The brother was killed. The third brother was followed. And they would remind each other, remember what our mother said. Remember that our mother said that you shall not be weakened and you will make ribat, make standing firmly in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And all four of them were killed. And somebody came and told Al-Khansa that you lost all your four children today. And she said, Alhamdulillah, alladhi sharrafani biqatlihim, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honored me with their martyrdom. وَأَرْجُوا مِنْ رَبِّي أَنْ يَجْمَعَنِي بِهِمْ, I wish that I can follow them. She knows where they are. She's not worried about where her children are, because they are, inshallah, martyrs in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. She said, may Allah bring me with them when I die, في مستقر رحمته, in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another man that had a heroic act is a man that was not known with his good behavior in al-Jahiliyyah, in the days before Islam. He was a man that used to drink, and he likes to party, and he likes khamr, he likes the wine, he liked to love these things. And his name was Abu Mihjan al-Thaqafi. And he made poetry during the days before the battle, and that poetry says, إِذَا مُتْتُ فَتْفُنِّي فِي إِلَىٰ أَصْلِ كَرْمَةٍ تَرْوِي عِظَامِي بَعْدَ مَوْتِ عُرُوقُهَا وَلَا تَتْفُنِّي بِالْفَلَاتِ فَإِنَّنِي أَخَافُ إِذَا مُتْتُ لَا أَذُوقُهَا. And that poetry says, when I die, just bury me under a grape vine so I can drink from that wine. This is not a poetry you say before battle. So Sa'd took him and he imprisoned him. He put him in prison. So as the nights of Aghwath comes, and the fighting in that battle went into midnight, and the night called the night of darkness. Into the night of darkness, this man was in his chains and he was in prison, and he was in the basement of that palace where Sa'd was. And he heard Salma bint Hafsa, he heard that widow of Al-Muthanna and the new wife of Sa'd ibn Abi Waqas. And inshallah, I'll have to finish this story for you and then we'll stop. So he heard her voice and he called upon her. He said, Ya Salma, هل لك إلى خير? Can I lead you to a good deed? He is in his chains and he is in prison. She said, وما ذاك? What is it? And he said, تخلينا عني. Let's set me free. And تعيرينني البلقاء, and lend me the horse of Sa'd. He wants her to unchain him and give him the horse of Sa'd ibn Abi Waqas. And then he said, I promise you, فَلِلَّهِ عَلَيْهِ, this is a promise to Allah, إِن سَلَّمَنِي اللَّهِ, if Allah made me save, let me survive this day, and أَرْجِعَ إِلَيْكِ, I will come back, حَتَّى أَرْجَعَ رِجْلِي فِي قَيْدِي, I will put myself back in chains. And she said, وَمَا أَنَا وَذَاكَ, why do you want to get me in trouble? Why would I do this? And then he said more poetry, and he said, that poetry is well known actually in Arabic literature, كَفَى حَزَنًا أَن تُرْدِيَ الْخَيْلُ بِالْقَنَى وَأُتْرَكَ مَشْدُودًا عَلَيَّ وِثَاقِيَا إِذَا قُمْتُ عَنَّانِ الْحَدِيدُ وَأُغْلِقَتْ مَصَارِعُ دُونِي قَدْ تَصُمُّ الْمُنَادِيَا وَقَدْ كُنْتُ ذَا مَالٍ كَثِيرٍ وَأُخْوَةٍ فَقَدْ تَرَكُونِي وَاحِدًا لَا أَخَالِيَا ولله عهد لا أخيس بعهده لئن فرجت لا أزور الحوانية. And in his poetry he said, والله, he was make her give some sympathy for him, but he said, but I have a vow for Allah, if this happens then I will not go into wine drinking ever again. He's given an oath to Allah. So she felt sympathy for him and she liked his vow, and she said, إني استخرت الله, I made استخارة to Allah, ورضيت بعهدك, and I accept your promise. So she set him free. And then she said, but the horse, I cannot give you the horse. This is the horse of Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas. I cannot give you the horse. So he sneaks into the stable and he jumps on the horse and he takes the horse. And he goes into the battlefield. And he is fighting at night, at the dusk, at the darkness of that night. And this is a battle that goes into the night. This is as fierce as it is. And Sa'd saw a man on his spear and sword fighting between the rows of the army and fighting very fiercely against the Persians. And Sa'd said, Wallahi, lawla habsu Abi Mihjan, laqultu inna hadha Aba Mihjan. Wallahi, if I don't know that Abu Mihjan in prison, I would say this is Abu Mihjan. Walawla anni a'lamu ayna al-balqa, laqultu anna hadhihi al-balqa. And this is, if I don't know where my horse is, I would say this is my horse. He says, This is darkness. I mean, and then Abu Muhjan continues until he fought very bravely in that battle, and then he came back, sneaked back, put the horse back, and then he puts himself back in the chains, and then he said more poetry, and then Salma said, why were you imprisoned in the first place? And he said, Wallahi, I did not drink any wine, but I said that poetry, and Wallahi, I will not touch that again. And then she said, she went and she told her husband, this is what a Muslim woman will do. She said, here's what I did, and here's what Abu Mihjan did, and I let him free, and he promised that. And then he brought Abu Mihjan to him, and he said, is that what happened? And Abu Mihjan said, yes. And he said, when go, you are free. And I will not imprison you for anything you say after today. I saw his fighting, saw his devotion to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Abu Mihjan said, Wallahi, I will not say bad poetry in my life again after this day. And we stop, inshallah, in the second day of Al-Qadisiyah. This is time for Salah, and I apologize to you. I took, apologize to the Musalleen, taking some time for Isha. And inshallah wa ta'ala, next session we will have more. And we will with the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, try to finish Al-Qadisiyah. So for those who missed some of today's session, we will have a quick review, inshallah, and we'll continue on the third and fourth days of Al-Qadisiyah. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله العظيم لي ولكم وفاز المستغفرين أذان العشاء إن شاء الله.